Okay, so today I want to present some preliminary results on the on a study of the polar crown prominence that erupted on 2012, March 12th. So one important question that motivates this work is, what is the magnetic structure supporting the hadron prominence or vertical threads? So the classical model suggests that these vertical threads are supported by the dips in the magnetic flux rope, yeah, twisted flux rope. While recently there are some new observations by AIA show that there are some U-shaped or horn-like structure above the vertical threads. And this observation is in favor of the new model called the tangled field model. So in this model, they say the vertical threads are supported by the little dips in the tangled field within the current sheet. So a recent simulation by Fan also shows a consistent picture. And they found that this U-horn structure, U-shaped horn structure, are actually their hyperbolic flux tube or current sheet. And also they say the vertical thread is located within the region called the current sheet. So the outline, there are some other questions of this talk is, what triggers the polar crown prominence eruption? And whether the loss of prominent mass can trigger the eruption? So the outline of this talk include the AIA and the theory behind observations of the structure and dynamics of the erupting prominence on March 12, 2012. And we will also perform column density and the DEM analysis of the erupting prominence. So this slide shows AIA observations of the eruption at eight channels. We can see that at the beginning, at AIA at 171 channel, at this 171 channel, there is this U-shaped structure located above this vertical thread. We also see some bright emissions surrounding this vertical thread. And at a hotter, little hotter channel like 211 and 193, we see some bright structure located above the vertical thread. And also this structure is located within the egg cavity. And so you can see this this filament starts from a slow rise. And then later on, we started to see some post-eruption arcade here. And we also see some rising blobs going up. And in the later phase, we also see some brightenings of the filament at all channels. So this event is also associated with a CME, and the speed is about 630 kilometers per second. Okay. So stereo behind observed this eruption at the disk. And we can see that on the disk, they look like an asymmetric arch. By asymmetric, I mean the right leg of the arch didn't show much emission in all channels, but it does look like an arch in total. And the eruption actually begins at the vertical thread that observed by AIA at the limb, and that part of the thread is also located on the top of the arch. So at the later phase of this eruption, we also see some brightenings at the inner edge of the arch, like here. So this plot shows a high time plot of this eruption along this white slice. And on the right, it shows shows a plot using this Kenny edge detection algorithm to automatically detect, to trace their prominence front. So to get a sense of the error bar of this analysis, we select 30 slides along this erupting prominence, which is the plot is the high time plot is shown here in black, and we then perform a polynomial fit to the curve. After that, we will get the velocity time plot and the acceleration. It's clear that this eruption goes through from a slow rise phase to a fast rise phase. And when they are leaving AIA field wheel, the filament has a velocity of 65 kilometers per second, and the acceleration is about 20 meters per second square. And the timing of the appearance of this filament in Lasco field wheel suggests there is additional acceleration before it arrives at Lasco. And for more comprehensive dynamic study of this prominence and the CME, please see the poster by Dr. Gopaswamy. So this slide shows AIA running different movies at a 2 minute cadence at three channels, 171, 183, and 211. So we can see that there are some bright blobs as a inside of this white stripe going moving up. And also, you also see some bright U-shape structure surrounding this prominence, surrounding the middle part of the vertical threads. So they become more and more. So, okay, in the next slide, it will show the precession time plot along this white stripe shown here. So we can see that at 171, the blobs shows more clearly. And this the appearance height of these blobs is increasing with time. And the blobs appear to have a faster speed than their prominence front. This is the prominence front. To understand the importance of the prominent mass in triggering the eruption, we performed some column density study. And this figure shows there several AA images like 2 days before the eruption. And here, this white circle, white box encloses the prominence region. And we these two figures shows the intensity plot along this two slides here, shown in dark, at the several channels. And for the background emission, we estimated as their linear fit to their two crossing points here and here. For the two slices. And the foreground emission, we use like 29% of this profile. Then we derive the optical depth tau shown here. And then this, in the end, we can get this estimate of the column density shown here, estimate using several channels. And we can see there the maximum column density shown here is around 10 to the 19th per centimeter square. And the maximum optical depth is about 5.67. And as this slide shows the column density study during the eruption, we can see their maximum column density is about 4.10 to the 18, and the optical depth is about 2. And in comparison to the previous slide, it shows that there is a decrease of the column density during the eruption. And here we perform a DEM analysis using six AIA UUV channel. On the left shows the emission maps, emission measure maps at different temperature range at the beginning of the eruption. And we can see that bright emission I mentioned earlier surrounding the prominence had a lower temperature, is about less than 1 million Kelvin. And also, it doesn't show here very clearly, but there is a bright substructure within the cavity here. It has this temperature, about hotter temperature, about 2 to 3 million Kelvin. And this appears to be consistent with the hot channel mentioned by Fan in her talk yesterday. And as I mentioned earlier, there is a brightening in all AI channels during the eruption. In stereo, we can see this brightening occurs at the inner edge of the prominence arch. And we also performed the DEM analysis at two times during the eruption. We can see that these brightenings occurs at a higher temperature at later on. So which means this probably caused by heating. At least heating contribute to this brightening. So the appearance of the post-eruption arcade and also their bright blobs during the eruption are signatures of reconnection. And the first appearance time of this signature shown here seems to be associated with the time of the transition from slow rise to fast rise phase. So what really drives the eruption? We calculate the decay index from a potential field model, as shown here, decay index with height. And the solid and dashed lines refers to the heights of the flux rope axis at times when the post-eruption arcade and the blobs first appear. So the height of flux rope axis, we estimate it as twice the height of the prominence thread, like about here. In the literature, the critical decay index for the torus instability is within a range from 1 to 2. But for our case, as a flare, as the fast rise onset, this index is about 0.8 to 2.9. It's a little slower, a little smaller than there in the literature. So here is our conclusion. So the DEM analysis shows prominence heating at the inner edge of the prominence arch during eruption. So there is a decrease in column density during eruption, which might be caused by prominence heating or some drainage of the plasma or something else. So the eruption starts with a slow rise, but we haven't identified the clear reason for this rise yet. And the transition from slow rise to fast rise is associated with the reconnection below the rising prominence thread. So it's not clear to us that torus instability can explain this eruption since it has a smaller decay index. So in the future, we will continue to study the evolution of prominent mass in order to determine the possibility of the loss of prominent mass in triggering the eruption. We will also construct magnetic field models based on the observed magnetogram using the flux insertion method to determine the pre-eruption magnetic configuration. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Is it on?
Yeah.
How did you... calculate the decay index. What magnetic field model did you use?
A potential field model.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think your agreement's pretty good myself.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, it's hard to determine where the center of the flux field is. I mean, you use the inner cavity of that little cavity inside. That actually in the model where I see is like actually below the original axis, the flux rope. The flux rope is a bigger cavity.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard, maybe, you know, if you know, there's a range of places you can place your analysis of the decay index. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It'd be higher.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
One more question? If I look at your movie, what I see is that there's something circular up above. Well, that seems to have nothing to do with the eruption, because the eruption all takes place way low down, right? The whole prominence lifts up.
Yeah.
And if there's any kind of reconnection spot, it occurs below the prominence.
Yeah.
So I don't see this vertical current sheet containing the cool material and the role of the so-called flux rope up above. In fact, it looks to me as if what you're getting is the eruption of a prominence arcade, just like in the standard picture. I mean, I don't see how you can infer the role of these horns or whatever you call them.
Okay.
Aren't they way above the eruption?
It's not shown. So let me think. Yeah, I think the promise that's where the vertical thread is, and that's the U-shaped horn. And when it's rising up, you start to see more structure here. So if there standard picture, then the U-shaped structure could go through all those prominent threads, but it didn't. And also during the eruption, you see more and more of these threads go from the top to the bottom. It's so, yeah. Yeah, I guess we can talk more about that. Thank you.